The hit musical Sex opened the 2025-2026 Broadway in Scranton season in November. And here's what we learn. They were just students, and they had an idea, and all they needed was a place to try it out. Six, the musical, actually started at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2017, when a group of Cambridge University students wrote the piece. Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss were inspired by both historical queens and queens of pop when writing this musical. Their run at the Fringe was so successful, in fact, that Fringe venues invited them back the following year. Following this, they got a West End transfer to the Arts Theatre before moving to the Vaudeville Theatre, and eventually on to Broadway, where the show won the 2022 Tony Award for Best Original Score. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival has been a global launchpad for massive theatrical hits, ranging from absurdist plays to modern pop musicals like Six, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Tom Stoppard's absurdist play premiered there before conquering both the West End and Broadway and winning the Tony Award for Best Play. And Beyond the Fringe, the satirical review featuring Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, Alan Bennett, and Jonathan Miller revolutionized British comedy and is credited with sparking the 1960s satire boom. And speaking of boom, Stomp, the percussive phenomenon, debuted in 1991 at the Fringe at the Assembly Rooms before the show's legendary 29-year off-Broadway run. But the Edinburgh Fringe is much more than theater, and it's gone on to inspire festivals around the world that have become showcases for, yes, talented playwrights, but also comedians, dancers, spoken word artists, filmmakers, musicians, performers for children, and much more. The Fringe experience has taken root here in Scranton. And since 2015, the festival has expanded and expanded, surviving even the COVID pandemic. You'll hear a good deal about theater and much more as we share a conversation with co-founder and executive director Connor Kelly O'Brien and Aaron Kosiski, festival producer.
Scranton Fringe is a nonprofit regional arts organization I had the pleasure of co-founding many years ago now. We began in 2015. We present an annual celebration of the arts that has now grown to be 2 weeks every fall throughout Scranton and beyond, actually. It's not just Scranton technically anymore. We are loosely inspired by the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, the largest annual arts event in the world, period. The largest annual event in the world, period, of any kind. We produce theater, music, film, art throughout the year. We have kind of grown to become our own theater company itself, a direct production company. But what we're probably most well known for, of course, is our annual festival, which anyone can apply to. And anyone, we are curated for time and space and resources, but in theory, anyone can participate in to self-produce stand-up comedy, storytelling, theater, children's theater, very much not children's theater, and everything in between.
Introduce us to Aaron, because it's the first time we've met you, Aaron.
Wonderful. Aaron Kosiski joins us as our festival producer. Aaron came on board late 2025 as our festival producer. So Aaron, as anyone who works in small teams or nonprofits know, you do a little bit of everything. But Aaron, as our festival producer, really gets to hone in and focus on the festival, the big flagship event of the year, freeing me and other members of our team up a little bit to focus on more of the year-round capacities. But trust me, I will be there every minute during the festival, meeting with donors, carrying bags of trash, helping fill in at front of houses wherever needed. But Aaron has been such a wonderful, warm welcome to our team and has brought such a fantastic perspective, an art lover. When we had the interview, one of the things that, besides her incredible skill set, and I had volunteered with Aaron at a totally separate event, a music festival earlier in 2025, and professionally, platonically fell in love with her skill sets, with her organization ability. And so when this role became available, we had an open call. We had a lot of wonderful applicants, but I immediately was like, Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. And funny enough, other members of our team, Dan Kimbrough, our tech director, remembered Aaron from their shared past PTSD of working at the wedding event planning industry some time ago. So she's been absolutely phenomenal. And I would be remiss not to mention, you know, I co-founded the organization with a wonderful person called Elizabeth Bowen, who unfortunately passed away almost a year ago to the day. And it's been really hard and it's been difficult, not only because she became a very close friend working together for a decade, if not more, but, you know, you put your stamp on, especially in the arts, the people that run the ship, so much of their personal energy and their own personality and stamp into the work they do. So under no circumstance could she ever be replaced. The position Aaron is filling is a new position, is totally different. But something that Liz and I had talked about for years was stacking the bench a little better. And she would be thrilled and so happy to see that happen. We navigated last year without additional support and we made it work. It was very challenging and our team really stepped up in so many ways, from our board to our seasonal part-time staff to the largest body, which of course is volunteers. And so we're just really excited and grateful to be kicking off 2026. We have a large list of programming and we're going to be talking all about that, I'm sure.
Aaron, what drew you to apply?
I mean, I grew up working in the background of productions. I'm much more of a behind the scenes person. I love seeing all the little details come together, like Connor mentioned with the PTSD of weddings. But it's nice to see all those small details grow into a bigger picture, especially when you're working at this capacity with an amazing team and, you know, multiple programs, multiple shows, if you want to call it that. So it's nice to see that all come together. And, I, you know, I've always been a fan of the arts. I think arts and entertainment and expression is the most important thing we could do as human beings. So yeah, you got to support that. I mean, now more than ever. So yeah, and then I met Connor, like he said, at the music festival last year, and we just clicked, and the platonic falling in love is very mutual. So I'm excited to be a part of it and pour some love into the art scene and pick it up and shine some light on it as it needs always.
Please remind people how important Scranton Fringe has been to the economy of the region.
So for several years, we partnered with a wonderful program at the University of Scranton and their business honors leadership classes, who conducted a multi-year study, which helped us not only capture audience demographic data and constructive feedback, but it confirmed for us that our festival, and I'm going to be honest, this data is probably conservative at this point since it's been a couple years, but we generate over $250,000 every year in the regional economy during the festival. So it's not even including our year-round impact. I welcome your wonderful audience to do their own research, but it was a few years ago, I believe, that arts and culture surpassed agriculture in the GDP, I believe, if I'm correct. And numbers shift and go up and down, of course, but I think that's just one small piece of example of how important arts and culture are, not just to our status as human beings, to our well-being, to our culture, but to the very economy that we're all trying to, you know, invest in, especially in regions like Northeast Pennsylvania.
And we know that when people come back to Scranton, whether it's just for a visit or whether it's to return to stay put, people recognize the difference in the activity in the arts and the quality of the arts.
I would 100% agree with that statement. I mean, we've always said from day one, and we truly mean it, that as proud as we are of the work we've done at Scranton Fringe, and we will celebrate it till kingdom come, that we could not do it if this region didn't have such a vibrant, rich, foundational art scene. That's not just niceness for the sake of niceness. I mean, literally, the venues we occupy, the partners, the funding. I think often a huge resource that I don't think we sometimes take for granted is that Lackawanna County, of which Scranton is the seat here in Northeast Pennsylvania, is the only county in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, that has a dedicated arts and culture tax. And Maureen McGuigan and her whole team at Lackawanna County do so much with, and honestly, it's wonderful. probably, what, $1.5 million they invest back, which is huge. But in the grand, for what it generates, is it should be three times as much, in my humble opinion. But yeah, and it's just so incredible to work with all of the organizations that have been around for decades and decades and decades. And honestly, it's been kind of eye-opening that, you know, we're not necessarily, we've always kind of viewed ourselves as like the new scrappy group on the scene, and we're not necessarily that young anymore, both organizationally and personally.
You did mention the grand event in the fall, which is the festival itself, 2 weeks. You invite applicants and applications early in the calendar year to draw artists and artisans and suggest that they might want to take part. And if they do, they can fill out an application and you will screen the application and they might be part of the fall extravaganza, because that's what it is. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, so the excitement's, I mean, right around the corner. We've already started planning, of course. So to get back to the community aspect, right now we're talking to, you know, local coffee shops, local theaters, local organizations in Scranton, because we truly want to bring the community together. That's what it's all about. But yeah, we start accepting artist applications February 9th. And we'll go through those applications. They're open from February 9th till March 31st. So to go through those and figure out the best home for them and their needs as artists as well. And then we find homes and then we start planning the programming. So excited stuff right around the corner.
How do you keep a balance in terms of what will be on offer in the fall?
That's a fantastic question. We are a curated festival, which for any of your listeners who might be familiar with other fringe festivals or just want to look up other fringe festivals, that's actually not very common. A lot of fringe festivals operate on a lottery basis, first come, first serve. We made the decision that given the risk we were taking in Northeast Pennsylvania with this type of festival and model, we needed to have a little bit of creative control. And we wanted to make sure we guaranteed a diverse range of content, not just the genres that are represented, theater, music, film, comedy, the career level of the artist that we feature. We don't want an entirely amateur festival. We don't want entirely professional lineup either. It needs to be an eclectic mix. There needs to be a cross-pollination, because that is what makes a scene culturally. And we should be representing that. The festival should be, as a director from a fringe festival in Italy once said, to paraphrase, and I love this quote, a fringe festival is a mask that has to fit the face of whatever city it's in. And so to us, that's always kind of been our loose ethos. So we do curate for resource, for time. We get so many wonderful applications. Last year, I think we were only able to accept like 1 out of 12, which is a wonderful problem to have. And we're super grateful. We are with Aaron on board. We are making strides to maybe make that number a little smaller. And in terms of the gap, fill more spaces, be more strategic, more efficient, a lot of more spreadsheets. And so we're really hopeful that we can give a platform to as many artists and shows as possible while staying realistic. And also one of our values is that we will never curate a show, production, project that we don't think has a chance to succeed.
And Aaron, we know that there is so much talent here, but there is a fringe circuit. So there are occasions when there are other artists who come from outside the region.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, we love to celebrate artists and art right here in Scranton and Lackawanna County. But yeah, I mean, it's open to everyone. I think I've seen some applicants come through from different states. So celebrate good art where the celebrations need to happen. Absolutely. But it's truly all about that balance. You know, you want to offer everyone a chance, but you want to make it work for the Scranton Fringe Festival.
Yes, we are very proud to be, as Aaron said, featuring, you know, we definitely skew regional, I would say, but we've welcomed artists from across the country, from across the world. We are proud to be members of the World Fringe Congress, which will be having every other year. They have a conference. Aaron and I will be attending in May in San Diego, but we get to attend the annual conference every other year. In May, it'll be in San Diego. We're proud to attend. We're also members of a smaller group, which is specifically just for the United States, USAF. Not only is it a wonderful network to promote and connect with artists and producing companies, but the people who make the magic happen behind the scenes. And we get to learn a lot from each other. This will be Erin's first conference attending, and I'm so excited for her to meet this global community of producers, directors, festival organizers.
And the application itself, it's more than just your name, your address, and how to reach you. What kinds of information are you looking for from the applicants?
Yeah, so as far as the artist applications go, it's a little bit more than just, you're right, names and numbers. It's what is your art? Send us an example of your art. What technology needs do you have? Do you need a projector? Do you need a sound system? Do you need a table? It's every little detail we need to know so that we could make the festival and your art the best that it can be, showcase it in the best light that we can. Yeah, so every little detail, nothing is too small. We need to know. We'd love to know.
And you do make sure that there is some rich programming for children. You may not know yet what will be in the fall, but you have all along emphasized that it's important to serve children as well.
Yes. I mean, one of our most consistent venues, I believe the most consistent venues, with the exception of perhaps the COVID years, is the Lackawanna County Children's Library. We've been working with them since 2015. We present work there as part of our early stages program, which is kind of an umbrella term for all of our youth and children's programming. But we present theater, workshops, immersive experiences, children's silent discos, concerts, you name it. We've brought in the Philharmonic. We've brought in regional theater companies. We've brought in groups from far outside the area. And it's really wonderful, not only because we've, through that programming at the Children's Library, reached, I believe, over 2,000 children and their families over the years, but we charge absolutely nothing for the families to participate. We don't even pass the hat at those performances because we don't want to create any kind of economic barrier or uncomfortable atmosphere, and we don't charge anything. The Children's Library doesn't have to contribute to that budget. We fundraise separately, although they are wonderful, gracious hosts, of course, and help support. But that's a very important program, and it's now expanded even beyond that venue that we present professional theater at the Pocket Park in downtown Scranton. We started that last festival in 2025 with The Importance of Being Earnest. We commissioned a wonderful regional theater artist, Kate McDonald, to direct, and she and her company of actors and crew did a phenomenal job. We have the city of Scranton and Scranton Tomorrow to thank for the funding that made that possible. We're going to be doing it again, a different show, of course, but something this coming fall as part of the festival. So not only do we love being able to bring theater and professional arts to children and their families and children of all ages in our local audiences, but to do them and activate such unique spaces. We love a good traditional theater. We love a proscenium and tech that we don't have to set up, but we also love activating unique locations throughout the region.
Buskers, street performers?
Yep, 100%. We welcome that fully. Mm-hmm. This year, we have a really, we always have an exciting lineup of venues, but Aaron's been taking the charge with meeting with established and new potential venues, and we're really working on kind of a corridor space, that you might say, of venues in a very tight area to better activate. We love spreading out the activities throughout the area, but it is nice to be able to have kind of a hub in the downtown Scranton. So you'll definitely see things happening on every, I'm not going to say every corner, you'll definitely see things happening in every type of space, including a few street corners here and there throughout Scranton this fall.
Is that what we need to know then if we're listening and saying, I want to get in on this? We send them to the website, right?
ScrantonFringe.org. Applications open February 9th through March 31st. There is no cost to apply. You can submit your ideas thorough, please, with lots of details. But you go to ScrantonFringe.org, February 9th through March 31st. No cost to apply. All the information that you could possibly need is on the website, including contact information to reach us. We're going to be having one or two virtual office hours in March that people can join as well via Zoom. And we're always available, email, phone, social media. Reach out to us. We're happy to answer your question and help you develop your application if you need a little pointer here and there.
You mentioned, and it is true, we remember you were probably sitting in that very chair, Connor, and Elizabeth was there, and you were telling us about Scranton Fringe and what was going to happen in that first year. And you have now expanded to year-round activities. And there are events that are coming up in March and April and June and July and so forth and September. Are there things that you want to tell us, though, about the play development project?
Absolutely. We recently just launched a new playwright incubate program, thanks to the wonderful, generous support of our founding sponsors for that program, In This Together and EPA. The program is open to any Northeast Pennsylvania resident or primary resident, and I think that covers something like 15, 16 counties. And it's anyone who is aspiring, emerging, maybe mid-career, so to speak, of their playwriting development career and has a new script or script idea, even an outline works. We will be pairing anyone that applies and then is then selected. We'll be able to select, I believe, about 4 applicants from this open call. Again, free process. They will receive a stipend to help them fund a little bit of their time to help complete their script. They'll be assigned a professional mentor who will help them mostly virtually cultivate their script, provide feedback, provide development. That mentor will also direct a reading of their script at the 2026 festival, which will be professionally filmed. There will be a small in-person convening in July for the four selected playwrights and their mentors, but we are designing the program to be largely virtual and recognize and accommodate people's hectic schedule these days. And we're so, so excited. That application will also be running concurrently with the festival applications, February 9th through March 31st. And you just go to scrantonfringe.org for more information.
What an incredible opportunity.
It really is. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're super excited. And it's rare, even though we have a wonderful art scene, it's rare in a region like ours with the state of funding, as grateful as we are to our supporters, to be able to facilitate that kind of professional development. I mean, every dollar really, it's challenging to give up every dollar, not just for basic operational costs and to pay our small team, who are all contracted part-time. You know, Fringe does not have, including myself, no full-time staff. We're all contracted on a part-time basis, but we felt it was really important to reinvest into regional playwrights, to grow that development. And as a working playwright myself, I know the challenges that are out there, and I've been very lucky and have had a lot of opportunities. And then we actually put out a survey last year to playwrights nationwide, asking them for their feedback, which was invaluable. And when we developed this program, due to funding limitations, restrictions, specificities, we do have to limit it, this program, to Northeast Pennsylvania playwrights. But if all goes well, maybe in a year or two, we'll be able to do something and open it up to bring the playwrights of the country to Northeast Pennsylvania. So we'll see.
But then there are those wonderful events that take place almost every month.
Yeah, you're right. Just about every month has a little something for everyone. So, I mean, it helps with funding for the festival itself, but it's also just fun to get out there every month. Why not? You need something to do. So in March, we actually have our first story slam of the season, if luck would have it, our story slam, which will happen at Marywood University on March 28th. You could find more info about that right on our website as well.
In April, we have sort of our first big main stage theater production of the season, which is The Glass Menagerie, the classic by Tennessee Williams. We love our original new works. We also love taking a fresh take on a classic. I'm really excited because I get to direct that production as well. That'll be April 9th through the 11th. We have an amazing cast. We're also equally excited because, in addition to that being our first big main stage of the season, it's also going to be our first big production in a new space. In North Scranton, it's a space that's being dubbed the Sanctuary Theater. It's in a former church at 1735 North Main Avenue. We have our friends at Discovery Montessori to thank for that. They own the property. It's an extension of their North Scranton campus. It's going to be an arts and community space for others to utilize as well, and we'd love to come back and talk more about that with Discovery Montessori sometime. But we are going to get, Fringe is going to get to be the resident company, the Sanctuary Theater, home of Scranton Fringe. And we're really excited to have this sort of grounded space to meet, to organize. They've been very kindly letting us use it as a meeting and unofficial storage space for about a year or so. But now that it's going to be more so open to the public, beginning with The Glass Menagerie on April 9th, and then literally the next week, we'll turn it over into a stage for our youth theater program, which will be presenting a stage play adaptation of The Outsiders, based on the classic S.E. Hinton novel, directed by Simone Daniel. And that's in partnership with the Youth Arts Coalition, who we run our teen youth theater program with. They're a nonprofit based in West Scranton. We have so much more throughout the year, not just at that space, but we love activating, as we said, spaces throughout the area. My number one note to anyone is always going to be, please go to our website, scrantonfringe.org. Please contact us if you have any questions. We have a subscribing membership program that has three different levels for all levels of access and budgets. And we just really encourage people, you're welcome to attend any show on a case-by-case basis, but becoming a member of our organization not only provides us with much-needed vital sustaining revenue, but it gives you special access. It allows us to be in conversation with you as an audience, perhaps more than we normally can. And all this information and more, again, follow us on social media, go to our website.
Connor Kelly O'Brien, who is co-founder and executive director of Scranton Fringe, and Aaron Kosiski, who is festival producer, speaking with us about Scranton Fringe. The festival itself will be held at the beginning of October 2026, but we heard two very important application dates, February 9th through March 31st. That's the spread for applying to take part in the festival in October, the flagship program produced by Scranton Fringe. And you can find the application and all the information you need at scrantonfringe.org. scrantonfringe.org. And don't forget, today is February 9th, so the application's open today. Also, there's a parallel application process, and that involves the Playwright Incubator Program. The dates, February 9th through March 31st. And four playwrights will be chosen from northeastern Pennsylvania to receive a mentor and lots of workshopping of an idea and or a script for presentation during the festival in October. And a stipend is included. So the key website is scrantonfringe.org for all the information you need about Scranton Fringe. But those key dates, opening today, February 9th, the application process begins for both the festival and the Playwright Incubator Program, but also then that continues through March 31st. For more information on the web, scrantonfringe.org.